Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Insane in the Membrane.
Hello and welcome to Insane in the Membrane's top 10 biggest episodes, in no particular order. We're building up to our third anniversary and a massive celebrity special show to celebrate our third anniversary. Keep an eye out for that, with some past belters that might have gotten buried within our 150 episodes. 3 years of wonderful podcasting. Thanks to our Patreons, as always. We wouldn't be able to do this without you. Mike Pritchard, thank you, Mike. And Louise, no surname, but we suspect she goes by the nickname Metal Mistress. So Louise, like Madonna and Adele, thank you for that. This episode is from July 2020. It went out on our Fembrain channel. And again, it's someone I've worked with many times before. I've worked with since. Absolutely brilliant. She's absolutely smashing it. One of the country's finest comedians. And again, she's had a really interesting life, and it was really great to get her on. So it was a great episode. She's a fantastic person. You're going to love this chat. So give it up for Jess Foster Q. There's no big introduction either. We just get on
tuck
with it.
Tuck in. Just get... Tuck the fuck in.
Tuck the fuck in, Jess. You made me laugh. It makes me laugh that you call you refer to your baby as a sexist baby.
It's so sexist.
is that true? Is
wow,
it? Wow,
I just think it is so interesting there's loads of stuff that he does that I think is just what kids do, but it's really, I find it very fun to interpret it as sexist. Of course, it's not sexist.
That's brilliant.
It's poor. I've got work to do though.
It is funny, isn't it, that you think maybe a lot of it is inherent, like it's in you from birth.
Yeah, and it needs, yeah, exactly. It's the sin of Adam that you need to sort of, you're born covered in the sin of sexism and the weight and that's history it, yeah. of all of patriarchy. And it's on every parent to wheedle it out of them.
And all those words I know you're joking, but other men will go, oh, this again, this shit again. And you're like, no, hang on, this is what we've got to talk about. You know, it's because I know that Jade's very, very, she's always getting like, we were watching the other day. We watched Once Upon a Time in America, the Quentin Tarantino film.
Yeah, I don't know, I haven't seen it.
It's all right, but Jade was like, I'm not having this. This is bullshit. This is the patriarchy in full effect.
Is this the most recent one where it's just loads of dead women?
Yeah.
Just loads of brutal violence and killing.
There's brutal violence at the end, yeah. And it's, yeah, two women get it. And it's like, yeah, I see your point. up till that point, it was like, Margot Robbie's hardly in this. They go, I know, but, you know, it was part of, mate, because we didn't know, we know the true story about what happened to Sharon Tate.
Oh,
and
wow, right.
We just thought it was going to end up like that. But then it takes this sort of left turn and it goes off. And I got to be honest, we were all sat there going, oh, yeah, okay.
Oh, that's why everyone hates this film.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. Oh, yeah, he didn't. I don't think he needed to do that.
No.
But, Jade, I did say the other day, I'm like, Jade, you don't need to be a feminist in the house. We're all on your side, mate. And it, you know, I was joking, but it that took a turn as well. So.
Oh, relationships in lockdown.
Yeah, man. It's very difficult. It's very difficult when you're trying to say, I'm not part of the patriarchy. And then you say something, you go, oh, God, it's in me, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's there.
Yeah, yeah, you know? For sure.
And I think, yeah, like you say, it's either, well, I say this a lot. I think I'm like one of the last generations that were told
how, like, you had to be a real man, like, you know, push your feelings down, and this is your role, this is the woman's role.
Oh, I mean, I think there's lots of younger generations outside of our, like, lovely, media-y, creative work-life bubble. I think that there's still loads of boys being brought up to be proper boys. You know, it's... You hear it everywhere. I used to have a bit of stand-up about it, but it was in the show that I've sort of had to stop halfway through touring, but how it really went down is I was walking down the street with my kid, and he had a top on that had a glittery unicorn on it, and this... stopped to talk to a neighbour who I don't know very well, and she genuinely, in the middle of the chat about bins or something, turned around and looked at him and said, I don't understand why people aren't bringing up boys to be proper men anymore. It was like, what?
Oh, wow.
Oh, God. Yeah. Like, you know, and obviously in the moment I just bottled it and went, right, okay, right, yep. And did get a useful bit of stand-up out of it. I always think of a great thing to say a year later. When it's a honed,
I think we all do that. Yeah. Well, we build up the courage as well, don't we? And we go, if I see her again, I'll say it that time. It takes a year to build the courage up, and it isn't even. It's just about. Confrontation is just. It's just horrible, isn't it? Because it leaves you feeling shit, even though that person has said something. She didn't mean to upset you, and but at the same time,
I think that's the problem with all of those things. Is on the one hand, she 100% will. Be thinking that she's right. I think even almost every time, almost every single time where somebody's got like what turns out to be a pretty toxic opinion, they didn't know that. You know, people aren't going out going, well, do you know what? I want to have a really toxic opinion. They think they're right. Like both sides of people on any war are sure they're right. It's not, and equally, like you said about confrontation, I'm not even sure that is necessarily the best way to affect change in how people see the world, because I would far rather, I don't think there was any, and this is also justifying my own cowardice, but I don't think there's necessarily much to be said for those. It's very, very hard in those one-to-one conversations to change someone's point of view. But if you can put an experience into a story that then thousands of people hear, I think that's genuinely a more powerful way of potentially affecting change in how someone sees the world.
Yeah.
But not only have I justified my cowardice, but also our jobs.
My way of standing up to everything is to take it and then put it into my 20 minutes. And then, I know. That's our way of standing up to everything. Funnily enough, talk about that, the unicorn on the shirt. I remember, and this was only 14, 15 years ago, I was living in Maidstone in Kent, and I remember wearing a pink shirt, and it was just a polo shirt with things on it, and I turned up at the pub, and all the lads there, they were like, what the fuck? Fuck you, pink? And I'm like, and that's only, like I say, very recently.
Yeah, that's this century.
Well, last week, There's a couple of lads I know that they've got a clothing company, SOS Clothing, and brilliant clothing. If anyone's listening, get on the website. It's brilliant. But they had some guy messaged them and said, because they do like a random box thing, like they just sent, like you pay for this box and they send you a load of stuff.
That's fun.
And it's brilliant. So you don't know what you're going to get. But this guy had messaged back. He went, none of that pink gay shit.
Oh, yeah. Unsubscribe. And so, unsubscribe.
They did. You could see the back and forth, and he went, you know what, mate? I don't think you're for us. And then the guy went, oh, well, don't be like that. I'm only joking. He's like, no, we don't really want your custom. And the guy's like, oh, well, refund me. And he goes, already have, laters.
Nice. That's the best advert for a clothing company I have ever heard, Rich.
It's great, isn't it?
And I'm really looking them up.
Yeah, do it. SOS Clothing, they're good lads. Right. Very good lads. And I'm like, even like last week. That's still happening. You know, I remember years ago my eldest son wanted an ironing board and an iron for his birthday. He would have been a tiny child, and we didn't even bat an eyelid. We went, yeah, cool, see if that's what you want. I mean, he did say, I want an iron and an ironing board like mum's.
Nice. Now, like a toy one.
And this is in the 90s. But the amount of flack that we got from some family members. Madness.
I don't know. It's funny, isn't it? My even my parents are quite funny about some of the stuff I get my kid. It's my dad weirdly is sort of more up for getting him things like kitchen sets and stuff like that, but he will say terrible things. I remember having a fallout with my dad when my brother, who's 20 now, but when he was about 2 or 3 and I was at their house and 6 Feet Under, that series that was on for years, and was on the telly. Really inappropriate probably for a 2 or 3 year old to be in the room. Anyway, like the opening sequence of it was, it's all about funerals, I think, wasn't it? But anyway, there's like a black screen and then it fills up. It's really beautiful and it fills up with all of these white flowers. And James, my brother, was a fizzy, boisterous 2 year old. Mm. And he was in the middle of some fight with himself, really like wigged out. And he stopped and looked at the screen with these flowers on the telly and went, whoa. And my dad was like, gay. I was like, wow. And I called him on that. I mean, I was just like, Dad, that's so. But then Dad's like, oh, God, you're so London. You're so London. Am I a homophobe? Am I a homophobe? Yes. Like, you're doing.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you're doing it, you know.
Yeah.
You're all so funny. You just don't know your boundaries. Like, you, again, like you're another generation of what it is or isn't all right to Josh about, I suppose.
Yeah. Well, how did he, because you've recently come out, is it recently?
Yeah. In the last year.
How did he find that?
He thinks it's really funny.
Really funny?
Yeah. He just smirked when I told him. I was really nervous, but I just sort of made a deal with myself and, if I'm honest, with my shrink about like, It got to the point where, because I'm good mates with both my parents, and it was starting to feel duplicitous that I was talking about it so freely in my friendship groups and in my work that I hadn't said anything, you know, to them. And
yes.
I was like, so I was like, right, well, when there's a natural opportunity for it, I'll have those conversations. And then it'd come up and I told my mum, and that's another story in itself. But she'd said, well, you know, I don't think you need to tell. She was a bit, you know, one of the not perfect things she said was, I don't think you necessarily need to tell your stepdad or your dad. And I was like, I think I do. Mm. I think I probably do. what am I going to just, shall I just introduce them to my girlfriend and just sit, just curveball it like that. Jesus. So anyway, I was
saying, say nothing at all. Yeah.
What?
just be sat there with a cup of tea.
Yeah.
Like nothing.
I've not told this story to many people at all. I was just having a coffee with my dad in his little flat, and he was talking about, I was saying that that my ex and me had banned a particular TV show that our kid had been watching, because he reenacts bits of certain shows, and there's been 1 or 2 shows that he's watched a few of and then just been really violent for a couple of weeks, and he's acting out this, it's called Dino King, if anyone wants to steer clear of it on Netflix. And he'd just been he sort of acts it out, and but it gets really wound up while he's doing it. So anyway, I was saying that to Dad, and Dad said, oh well, when his next batch of kids were little, his son James had mates, 2 boys who were never allowed to watch anything. They were never allowed to watch any even slightly violent telly or films. They weren't even allowed fizzy drinks. And I was like, oh, right. And he went, well, what's really funny about it is that one of them's grown up to be the biggest drug dealer in, I'll say, insert town in Hampshire. Mm. And he went, and the other one's a bender. And I was like, oh, God. And I sat there and I was like, well, do you know what, Dad? This is so eggy. Even me laying, I was like, funny you should say that, because I'm at least half a bender, Dad. And just sort of put it in his own language. And he was like, all right.
Wow.
He was just like, oh, all right. Like that. And he smirked, the smirk on his face. He just was tickled. It's one of those funny things where, my mum told me that when I was about 11, I think it's not a coincidence that's when my parents were breaking up, but my God, they definitely needed to break up. That was a rough old year for lots and lots of reasons. And I had I stopped eating and stuff, and I just had a rough old year. And my dad, apparently, in one of their few discussions about it with my mum, had said, I think maybe she's a lesbian. Which is really funny, I think, right. Because actually I don't think I was. Like, I don't have any recollections of any crushes. I never had crushes on girls at school. Like, I was so into boys. And and I've had loads of, so I don't know what to identify as, really. Something changed rather than me. I'm not one of those people that knew when they were a tiny kid that they were queer at all. I'm not saying I wasn't like on a spectrum, but I never had any dalliances, like the odd kiss off my nuts on recreationals.
Who hasn't done that?
Exactly, do you know what I mean? That's just that's just having a nice open mind. I didn't fall for anyone. There weren't, like, and I didn't, I genuinely was someone who would be like, well, I think she's very good looking, that person. And, you know, but I didn't want to get in people's pants. Something changed, something fundamentally changed. And so he was wrong then as well. But I think that's why the smirks spread across his face, because he probably thought, oh, right, always knew that or something. Oh, I don't know. But he's just, and then he's been, you know, he's been quite honest about, he's told, you know, various family members and stuff who've not taken to it well. I couldn't give a shit though. Do you know what I mean? That's the joy of coming out in your mid 30s. Because I think if you have to endure that when you're a kid or a teenager, and your very, every fibre of your self-worth, because you don't really know who you are yet, depends on what your loved ones think of you and how much they respect you. Whereas when you're 36, it's just like, well, I couldn't give a shit what Uncle Jim thinks. Apparently, I have an uncle whose name isn't really Jim, but who said, oh God, we've already got one of those in the family. Because his brother's gay. It's disowned brother's gay. Yeah, it's madness. But it's one of those funny things where I think if you talk to people who've had a lifetime of being oppressed for their queerness, they're quite sad about my coming out story to my dad. Whereas in the context of knowing my dad and knowing that I am new to this tiny drop in privilege so far, I have a lot to learn, that actually this was fine. Like, there is no hatred, there's no drop in respect. He's not going to change the way he'll be like lovely to my girlfriend. Like, he's sound. Like, he just needed to, it's how he copes with stuff, is to get angry or laugh. That's what he does. Yeah. That's his range. That's his pair of emotions. And
your pair of emotions.
And he chose laughter. And I had a lovely story, actually, because he's been so jolly, and he's had questions and stuff, and he's very positive, but there's this little naughty little smirk. I think he thinks the whole thing's a bit funny. That one of my dear mates who still lives down in Dorset where he lives, walked past him and outside of Parbaspur, and she said, one of them said, have you heard Jess's news or whatever? And they both said, yeah, of course. And she said to him, well done, Keith. Like, you've been really sound about it. You've been really lovely. And he went, have I done it right? And he seemed so, he had no idea whether he'd had the right reaction. I mean, nor am I. It did involve the word bender. It's not ideal. But
but it's the intent, isn't it? He wasn't,
with that generation. Yeah. It just is the intent, you know.
He wasn't saying it in an angry, derogatory way. It was his way of, because bender's quite, it's a funny one, the word bender. Yeah. It's quite playful.
Well, it's, yet weirdly, I've bollocked for it, because I've never known, I haven't had this lifetime of being, feeling other and outside and different, because I wasn't. I'd early on in another podcast, without this context, used the word bender for myself. And it was a very woke podcast. You can have one guess at what it was.
Right, yeah.
And I was given the opportunity to have that bit removed. And so I did, just to save the fucking 800 tweets. No, that's overdoing it. I haven't got that many followers, Rich, but I just get one or two nasty tweets that would ruin my day.
Yeah, exactly.
I just didn't know. I didn't know the rules. And it's like, I remember listening to one of these, your brilliant podcasts of this, and listening to someone say, actually, we learn through breaking the rules and then not being so defensive when we're called up on it. you know, but also not being cancelled for it. That's not how it works, you know.
Exactly. It's that. It's like, I remember, yeah, I said it. I've said it by mistake. I've said it twice. When I was a kid, we'd call each other benders all the time. It was just, you didn't, there wasn't any sex, there wasn't nothing sexual attached to it. You know, you just call each other benders because it was a funny word. And then I remember I was at a gig last year, actually, and this guy heckled me.
Yeah.
And I don't even know where it came from. I meant to say bellend and I said bender.
Oh.
I went, what'd you fucking say, you bender? And then I sort of took a step back and I went, oh, fuck. Oh, and I didn't even acknowledge it. I moved on.
Yeah.
And I kept going and I think people, I don't know what happened, but no one really said anything. But I remember being in the car going, I'm like, oh man, why was that there? Why was that at the forefront?
Yeah. Well, it wasn't at the forefront, was it? Like, it's just everything that you've remembered it. You'll never, ever do it again because you've remembered it. Like, I think we can shock ourselves. And I think there's a lot of, isn't there like really interesting theories or maybe even facts? I don't know, but that like swear words, come from a really different bit of our brain to the rest of our language, and it's why they can serve.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so because there's emotion attached to them, and it's why they're so useful. Like, they do this test, they wheel out this test. I've seen people like Brian Blessed and Stephen Fry have to do it on telly, where someone has to put their hand in freezing icy water, and you see how long you can keep it in there for, and you do it once when you can swear and once where you can't, and if you can swear, you can keep it in there way longer because it's releasing emotions. Like, there's a catharsis to it. I think words like swear words and laughter, you know, I think those things aren't as voluntary as we think. So don't beat yourself up that it was at the front of your brain. I think it comes from a panic place, actually, that's a bit further in.
I think it was, yeah, you're right. And that, like you were saying just now, is that we're not allowed to make mistakes, it seems. You know, there are people that are out to offend and they are out to hurt people.
That's different.
But every now and again, yeah, exactly. But we're human beings and we make mistakes and we fuck up, but we're not allowed to do that. We straight away, it's like, right, that person has to lose everything.
Hold on.
You know, and there are people like you, for example, your Epsteins of the world. They didn't need to lose his life, but he needed to lose everything else.
Because
of what he was. He was an evil monster of a man. But somebody else.
That's pretty black and white. But yeah.
I don't need to. I should have just said, I don't know why I'm explaining.
I really like it.
For anyone who's not, anyone who's no idea who it is. Anybody else, it's this need to destroy a life because they've said a wrong word at the wrong time. Yeah. And we need to recalibrate that. It's ridiculous.
Well, it's so hard. I think we're humans are such complicated beasts, and I think social media is probably kind of 80% of the issue. It can be such a force for good, but there's a lot of stuff that anger spreads a lot more quickly than any other emotion on it. And I think especially British people, like, or people from the UK, we particularly love a bit of moral indignance because we do collectively and individually enjoy feeling morally superior to someone else. So, and on top of that, if you then become part of a mob, a collective, who are all collectively feeling anger, which of course during something like a pandemic, where we're all part of a collective trauma anyway, then Cancel Town becomes such an enormous thing. All the nuance comes out of everything, and the worst thing is, I think the majority of people who are so into this, it's such an unnecessary end points we've got to from things that were old, from start points like the Me Too hashtag that were so brilliant and so pivotal and a history defining and changing. But then if you take it all the way to Cancel Town as a blanket thing, then I don't know. It's not, I don't think about crime that way either. I did law at uni and it takes such a huge, almost against your instinct shift to intellectualize yourself out of wanting revenge or the end of things, to see that that actually that humans are, it's just not how humans get better. It's not how people become better people to be ended.
Yeah, exactly. That's it, isn't it? Yeah. I think that with the Me Too thing, I know I got a bit caught up in it because I've had conversations with people and it was like all men of this and all men of that. And then I was going, hang on a minute, hold on.
Yeah.
That's not going to help anybody. And then they're like, well, you're just helping it. And I'm like, no, I'm not. I'm trying. But then I realized instead of me going against it and trying to defend the few men that haven't sexually assaulted anybody, what you do is go, all right, I need to, instead of battling the people that are coming at the men, I need to join forces with them and then talk to the men, you know, or like turn around and go, right, listen, a lot of us men are fucking problematic. Yeah. We need to talk to each other.
Yeah, absolutely.
Rather than going at women and going, no, fuck you, it's not all men. There's a lot of men.
Well, it's an instinctive human, I would say even animal, first defensive reaction. And it makes sense because the exposure of the universality of that experience for women, it's not to say that wasn't really horrible and sad and distressing for men. Even if men had perpetrated things, there'll be men who perpetrated things who didn't know they'd done anything wrong until suddenly the whole world is going, every single woman that you know has had several horrible fucking things happen to them. And just all sort of like having our eyes wide open to that at once. I mean, it's one of the most incredible things. I feel very grateful that that's happened in my lifetime. I feel like it's fundamentally changed the way you look to everything. And it was so necessary. It was so necessary. It's whether how far down the road of piety do you take it? How much empathy do you stop then having, especially historically? You can't be too anachronistic in terms of looking at people's behavior. I don't know. I really, really think there's room for more nuance and empathy in everything. But I am so glad that we've changed the way that we fundamentally look at whether those things are okay in the future and at least.
Oh, God, yeah. It made me realize that, like you just said, all women have had some experience with someone somewhere. Like I mean, I've had a shit time with certain women, but not on that level. I didn't have this story I was carrying around that I felt I couldn't tell anybody. You know, it really opened my eyes to the levels, how deep this goes.
It was systematic. Like I feel part of quite an interesting generation in terms of how we framed our sexual interaction with partners, blokes. For me, up until super recently, like I don't really know where to start, but I had a distinct pair of people. One when I was a teenager and one when I was in my early 20s, with things that I look back on after Me Too. One of them was glaring, the one when I was about 12. Like, I don't know what he's thinking, he was much older and stuff. But the other one was way more wishy-washy. And my generation, and I had told friends about it at the time, I'd been seeing this bloke, I worked with him. We were friends. We were seeing each other. It wasn't emotionally involved particularly. I think he did want to start a relationship. I wasn't like there. I think I was still pining for an ex, I think. But I wasn't going to start going out with him. And I called it off and was like, we're not going to be seeing each other anymore. And he turned up to my birthday drinks a few weeks later. And we were in like guzzy pubs in Southeast London. And I don't think it was him, but at some point along the night, early doors of the night, something happened to my drink because I don't remember anything from about 9:30.
Oh, wow.
And I woke up the next morning and I probably presented as fine because none of my friends said anything. Everyone was wasted. And that's the culture I was in. Like where the women, part of our feminism, although we never identified as feminists ever, or few people did, but they were weird. At uni even, you know, and for a few years beyond, like it was like lad culture. That was the type of feminism. It was keeping up with the lads. We drank hard. Like we were wild. And it was all about, it was like, there was joy in promiscuity, but it was, So basically, long story short, I woke up the next morning after my like birthday night out in bed with him. And that's obviously like, we woke up in the end and we were sleeping together, and, like, and I woke up in the middle of that and was like, okay, well, that's not okay. You know, that's something you look back after me too. And like I'd said we weren't seeing each other anymore. Why were you even there, really? And it's not, I've gone back and had a conversation with this person, and they were like, they were perfect in their response. Mm. It was like immediate apology, totally hands up admitted that he had no recollection of it at all, but essentially said was a functioning alcoholic at that time. And then you're like, right, okay, fair enough. I was on the spectrum. I mean, we were drinking so much. Like, it was so it's not black and white. He doesn't need to be cancelled. I don't want my son, to ever be in that situation. I will implore on him never to take the risk that if someone is that hammered, that they're not going to remember tomorrow. You can't sleep with them. You can't even sleep next to them.
Yeah.
And that's it. And that's what's changed. I'm not telling that story because I think that man was a bad man. I really don't think he's a bad man at all. I actually think he's a lovely man. I just think we've reframed things and completely what our idea of consent has changed so dramatically from when I was in the last decade. I think it's been quite creeping. And then Me Too was like, blew the lid on it. And it's brilliant. That's why I think it's brilliant that we can then look back and go, because I do remember feeling grotty the next few days, like a bit, you know, emotionally grotty. And I do remember saying to one friend in particular, a female mate, what had happened. And she was like, oh, well, we're all drunk. You know, no one really cares. Right. And that's not a bad friend either. That's someone I'm still dear friends with. We just didn't look at it in the same way as we do now.
No. It's funny, isn't it? And when I was a kid, or when I was young, not a kid, when I was younger, and there was a girl, and we used to hang around at the park, and she got absolutely battered. And we were all pissed, you know, we were all doing whatever. And then I remember walking her home, and then taking her home, and then her mum was still up. She's like, and she had a go at me. She's like, what the fuck have you lot been doing? And like, and I'm pissed as well. And dropped her home and went off. And I remember the next day, a couple of my mates going, so what'd you do? I went, nothing. I took her home. And there was that kind of, but you could have done this, you could have done that. I'm like, what are you talking about? Why would I do that? And I didn't really think about it again. I'm like, fuck, you would have thought that was completely fine. Because she probably would have gone along with it because she didn't know what she was doing. And funny, man.
But that's already, even the way you're talking about it, has changed so much, hasn't it? Like the idea of, I don't think now that most right-thinking people would like, even if it's someone you're head over heels in love with, particularly fancy someone who could hardly stand up. But it was just a different culture because so many nights, like nights out, that's how everybody got. It's like just smashing the bevs back. Awful. I feel so grateful that I haven't got myself in more trouble. And I used the wrong language there again, like got myself in more trouble. But ultimately, I was complicit in my lifestyle for sure. I just mostly surrounded myself with lovely people and still do,
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Yeah, I'm glad it's changed. And it's funny, because my lads, I just brought them up as best yeah. I could. I didn't, you know, and then it turns out that, you know, like, oh good, they're not rapists. Oh good, they're not racist. Brilliant. Just happened
what a touch.
To be, you know, what a result. Because that's the thing, is if you don't know that what you're doing is wrong, right. you don't know. Yeah. And it's, yeah, I'm glad that this happened, and I'm glad that. It certainly taught me a few things about my outlook on things. Like, I remember I've said this before. I was in Australia. I was in Perth. And there's another comedian. I won't mention her name, but we were. She had something. She happened to her when she was younger, and she was doing a show about right. it. And we were sat in this restaurant late at night. We're all having drinks, and we're all sat around, you know, having a laugh. And then she, because she's very. She's, you know, all men are beasts, all men are this and that. Cause that's, you know, she's had a horrible thing yeah. happen to her. And she stood up and she went, look, I'm going to go. She's like, cause you know, and she made some comment. She's like, because basically all men are potential rapists. And we are, and she said, you know, you're at no point, you know, if you lot don't have to worry about getting attacked and raped and murdered on the way home. Mm. And I stupidly turned around and I went, well, it's not all men, is it? I mean, men get raped as well. And it was, I can't remember his name, he's an Australian comic, was doing a show about him being sexually abused.
Oh, God.
When he was older at a party.
Fucking hell.
Yeah, and then it wasn't until later on. It was actually Joe Rogan. I was watching Joe Rogan's special, and he did a bit about it, and he said, you know, you see these men going, oh, it's not all men. It's like, yeah, men get raped too. He's like, yeah, by men, you fucking dickhead. I went, oh shit, yeah, of course. And it took. I went, oh fuck.
Yeah, shit.
Yeah, and it took that moment for me to go, oh my God. Yeah. And I felt about that moment, and I thought about, because we fell out. Because then she was like, you're a cunt, just like the rest of them. And it was. I tried to apologise the next day, but it wasn't happening. And then it all got out of hand. And it was like, do you know what? I'll just keep away. I don't need it. Yeah. And then watching that, I went, fucking hell.
Yeah.
It was this massive epiphany, this massive realisation. Yeah.
Well, I think that was another thing that was hard about the whole sort of unravelling of the enormity of the hashtag and of the change of sort of, of that realisation. The whole thing I think that was hard for men was that actually, like, oh, still as a world, we hear a lot more of men's stories in, you know, theatre, films, TV, books, you know, still there's an imbalance in, we're so used to hearing like a collective, in comedy, you know, until recently, it's, these are sort of male domains and it's men's stories. Not that we know, to take away from anything about how sort of crushed men's emotions get in terms of how they're brought up and stuff. But the world has been full of men's stories, and women are used to listening to men's stories and going, well, you know, this isn't my place to say something. That's what's always happened forever. That's the history. Yeah. That's why there's still not of quality. That's what the page is, part of what the patriarchy has always been. And it was a big moment where actually all women wanted men to do in that moment was just, we're not saying you're all baddies. Most people weren't saying all men are baddies or all men are dangerous. But right now, can you all just shut up? Because we're all realising this has happened to all of us. And this is a moment for us actually to feel like we're not alone. And the last thing you want in the middle of that is someone going, I'm all right though, I'm all right though, aren't I? Like, yes, or whatever. Like, do you know what I mean? You'll hear about it soon. See, if you're not. Like, just let us have this time of it's being our collective experience that's going viral.
Yes. Yeah. And do you know what? You just saying that right then has made me, I get it now. I totally get it. Because there was someone else was saying, oh, what? We're supposed to, we got to shut up.
Yeah.
Or we got to say something. And then a lot of men were going, well, don't, what are we supposed to do? Be quiet or say something. And then, and it was, and I got a bit confused with it. I didn't say anything, but I was sort of sat there going, yeah, I don't know what we're supposed to do. But now you've just saying it, I go, oh, yeah, of course. That now it's been explained. I get it.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. And, you know, and it's funny that, the, you know, there's a big thing, like people say, look, if a mate of yours, if you know someone that's sexually assaulted somebody or done something, then it's your duty to say something to them.
Yeah.
And I have done a couple of times. I've spoken to a couple of people, but because the person that's been attacked doesn't feel like they can say anything or come, they don't want to come out, they don't want to be part of that, it doesn't get anywhere.
No.
And now there's a couple of people that I've got, that you and I work with, that I know about, and I go, I can't say anything, and I don't know what to do.
It's unbearable, isn't it? It's unbearable.
Yeah,
but all you can do is know it, and all you can do is warn people that, you know, are at risk of getting into dalliances with those people. All you can do is know. It's not your story to tell, but it's there's a burden, there's an emotional burden in carrying those stories around. You know, that knowledge around, I should say. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah.
But I'm glad that we talk, you know, I'm so glad that people talk, because that is a protection in itself. You know, the more people that know that someone's problematic.
Yeah. But talking as well, that's the important bit. This comes up all the time, communication, because a lot of men are scared to ask questions. Yeah. And this is why we're doing this, is because, from my experience, I don't know how to ask these questions. I don't know how to speak to people about these things. I don't know how to bring it up, you know, and hopefully someone listening to this will go, oh, okay, yeah, I get it. And I'm trying to, more for me as well as anyone else, trying to learn and be better.
Yeah.
But you only do that by communicating with people, don't you? So, you know, and it's not as easy.
No, it's not. It's not. And it's not, especially if you've not been, you know, you've been conditioned to like shut up and put up, then actually it can be really hard. And also, I don't know, like, I think.
It's like what we hear, what's happened now is that a lot of men will hear the word feminist. They'll hear the word patriarchy, and straight away they'll shut down and go, "Oh fuck me, this again."
Well, it's not. It's not an expression. It's no comment on anyone. I'm not talking about any individuals who talk about that. It's a fact of the history of humanity, is that men have been in charge of stuff and women haven't, and there's 100,000 side effects of that. Like, I'm not like a scholar on feminism. I've got mates who've, you know, so well read, you know, and I don't even really understand what all the different, I mean, God, don't tell some of my favourite employers, but I don't even really understand fully like what all the different waves of it are and stuff like that. I'm not that guy, really. I just, there's a fundamental, indisputable fact that over the history of society as we've known it, men have been put in charge of things. And as a result of that, women haven't had equality and still haven't got equality. And you know, I can see, because in my 20s, I would be like, well, yeah, we have. Like, do you know what I mean? I do what I want. I'm going to have a career. That's equality. And you're like, well, also, you know, you're not taking into account any nuance, any of the, it's so underlying. It's not like, the pay gap is the most obvious physical material example, but actually there's an underlying thing in there, and it comes back to what we were talking about at the beginning of when my kid was wearing a unicorn top and the woman said, why aren't you bringing him up to be a proper man? It comes back to that. It's because our defined gender roles are so unhelpful. If we're still in a world, which we are, where boys, however tacitly, people don't know they're doing it, there's no like evidence that, oh God, this will upset people, but people fundamentally think that baby boys want to play with a car or a train and girls don't. Like, there's no evidence that babies' brains are that different. Our conditioning is so deep that we'll lean them that way. And of course, more testosterone does things. It's so complicated. But basically, as a result of men having always been put in charge of everything over the course of centuries and centuries and centuries and centuries, men are a lot more confident than women. Women are often, whether they know it or not, brought up, but not just by their parents, but by their whole families, friends, everyone who has an influence on them, teachers, to be less confident, less noisy, less big. And all of our language around strength, volume, taking up space, being in charge when it comes to women, there's still so much fucking work to be done. And it's that, in that sort of basic philosophical, theoretical sense, that's why anyone who's all feminist means, oh God, I mean, Bridget Christie's nailed it in a much funnier way. I feel like I'm just being very TED talky here, Rich, but all feminism great. Means is that you think women actually are just as good at men, and it doesn't mean you think men are cunts. It's nothing to do with that. It means also, I think now feminism means, and a man, what does it mean, masculinity? Like, I think part of feminism now as well is like, let's sort of loosen the shackles of man and woman as a definition of who people are, because there's now, you know, again, insurmountable evidence that there is more than, there's not just two genders. It's not a binary world. Human beings are so extraordinarily complicated. You know, you can change sexuality in your 30s. You can, I'm a tomboy, but I like dresses. We love rules. And actually a lot of them, they might make you feel safe, those rules and those boundaries and definitions and stuff, because it makes you feel like you're in control and you know what's what. But people are scared of words like feminism and non-binary and stuff like that, because it represents a change and perhaps something you don't understand, but it's fine to not understand it. But don't go, well, then it's a load of shit. Educate yourself.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Then that's what I'm trying to do with this. You're trying to, I think I was getting really upset that everyone was just cancelling each other and shouting at each other. And I just want everyone to talk to each other and work it out. And that's on both sides. That's not just men against women. That's not just about, you know, people against trans people. Yeah. And, you know, I just want everyone to sit down and go, right, like you've just said, this is fucking weird that we exist. People exist. It's weird that we've put this framework around us, that we've gone, right, you're a man, so you do this, this, and this. And you're a woman, and you do that, that, and that. And it's like, it's more fluid than that. Like you've just said, you know, there's so much more to it. But it's society, isn't it? Society says, and I've said this before, this is why there's a lot of mental health issues, because we're told by society, this is the way you perform. This is what you do to become a decent citizen. Yeah. That's how you are. And if you don't fit into that, that's when you start to feel isolated and weird, and you go, oh, fuck, I'm not that, so there must be something wrong with me.
Yeah,
you know, and so society needs to change. And I think this feels like the biggest surge yet. I mean, mind you, because it's probably because I'm here, but this wave of feminism and the conversations we're having feels like the biggest push yet, the
biggest wave of change, isn't it? And I think that's why people bulk, and I think that is where all the fear comes from, you know, because change is fucking terrifying. And I do think people need to be given a chance to maybe catch up's like a patronising word, but that sort of is what I mean. I mean, I think history repeats itself quite regularly, and in our lifetimes, it's gone so fast, the rate of change, you know. But I think, like you talked about sort of trans community, they're like, you watch the way that people, it does feel like there's echoes of, I mean, it was not that long ago, like even in the 80s, there was a massive movement, especially in America, like trying to say that paedophiles were gay people. Because if you don't understand, people didn't understand gay people. And so they would say, well, their natural logic of something they didn't understand was then fear. And then you go, well, then if you imprint a fearful vision of someone and make in your head they're perverse, literally just means different, then you then start reading in all these other negative things. And that was, there were religious people who made it their life's mission, thinking they were doing good. And because there was no evidence whatsoever, it fizzled out. But it feels like that's happening again now with this whole, like, gender neutral toilets thing. It's like there's no, you know, this idea that we're going, oh, well, surely then doesn't that mean that's going to be a load of, like, you know, actually rapist men in women's toilets. It's like trans people couldn't be more oppressed. There is zero evidence that the least you can do to make someone feel comfortable is let them. There's literally none evidence that anybody is going to go, oh, do you know what? I'm going to just sit in. Now I'm allowed in their toilets. I can't remember what comedian. Someone else made some brilliant comedian made a lovely point about anyone could always go in your toilet. just as there was a sign on the door. I think if somebody's that keen to do a rape, they're not going to not go in your toilet just because there's someone's skirt on the door.
Well, it's that assumption that we're all men are just waving their willies around in there. It's like, you know, I mean, I get it. There's been a couple of occasions where I've been in a toilet and there's been a woman in there and I could see she's visibly uncomfortable, even though it's gender neutral. And so I get it. There's going to be some people but again, this goes back to that. We should be having conversations instead of shutting each other down. Let's talk about it then. Right. How does this make you feel? How does it make? Oh, but that's how I see myself. I sort of stood there and I can see the argument, both sides. Yeah. I can see what's happening. And I'm sort of, not I'm perfect, fuck me, I'd fuck up as much as anybody, but I look at it and I go, why aren't you talking to each other? Why are you fighting? It's this, goes back to what I was saying, it's fucking amazing that we exist. Yeah. And it's not as black and white as everyone seems to think it is. And, you know, people are more fluid and, I don't know.
It's complicated, it's so complicated. Yeah. Yeah, and again, I think it's just things like having just shared toilets. It's a culture shift. So it's going to take a bit of time for people not to be like, oh, when they see someone who's, you know, presents as a different gender to them in the same labs. Like, it's not, there's nothing wrong with you and you're not, you know, overly scared of men or a TERF or if you like, oh, it's weird, isn't it? Because it will feel weird for a bit but I still think I fundamentally would think it's a great thing and would argue for it very much. I just think we need to get used to it because what we've done is a culture change there, a change of how we behave collectively.
Yeah. And you've been brought up, you're like, I know from my experience, you kind of go, this is what a man looks like. That is what a woman looks like. And women wear this and this, and men wear that, that, and that. And so now I feel like I've met, you know, some trans people and there was my brain's going, that's a man, you know, and you're like, and then I'm in my own head, I'm going, no, that's not a man. And you kind of, you end up just sort of standing there staring. And they go, are you all right, mate? I go, yeah, I'm fine.
Sorry.
I just need a minute. I just need a minute. It's just only because of what has been pumped into me as I've been growing up. And like you say, now we are all in a time of transition, not just trans people. All of us are now starting to work it out. And like you say, it's a societal change, isn't it?
And it's scary. And I think that's the thing to really important to acknowledge, that it is scary. And things like, you know, getting your pronouns wrong or your whatever. Mm. Like, again, it's one of those places where people need time to make the change and not be made to feel like they've fucked up on such an enormous level, which they might have done. Like, you know that feeling you got in your tummy when you accidentally said bender? I mean, that's what you do.
Yeah, that.
But on the flip side, there's nothing wrong with feeling a little bit of fear about saying the right thing and being very careful about saying the right thing. I don't quite understand why people are so like, oh God, you know, it's so stressful. It's like, oh, well, poor them, you know, think how stressful it is for the person who, you know, who's had to come to terms with the fact that they don't feel like a man or a woman as we know it. And, you know, so actually just, you know, take your time, but you will get used to saying they. Like, don't rule out having a laugh about it or feeling weird or fucking up a few times. But really, is it that awful to have to make that effort? If somebody's had to come to that realisation and live that life and be that much of a minority now, like, it's, I think people are quick to think that they're the one having the toughest time. And actually...
Go on.
No, that's it.
But it's that... But it's that, and then you, I've seen people saying, or what you want, you know, you need to ask this when you meet someone, ask them like, hello, my name's Rich. How would you like me to, what pronoun would you like to use? And it doesn't, and people don't talk that way. It's not, you don't walk into a conversation and start that off. And so people, so straight away, people are already going, oh my God, I can't, we don't talk like that. I don't know what to do. I won't be able to ask that question. What to do? But what should, like, again, it goes back to communication. So you say hello to that person. Hey, how you doing? Nice to meet you. Yeah. And then as the conversation flows, you pick it up. You go, oh, okay. So it's they and them. It's not he and she. You work it out as you go along on both sides, you know, because that person then going, you know, and so it all comes down to communication.
People put it in there. Because people are so bored of sort of having to come out as non-binary again and again and again and again and again and again. A lot of their interactions, it won't necessarily be relevant, but a lot of people have it in their Twitter bio or email or signature, don't they, if they've got anything more interesting than a traditional cis pronoun. I don't know if I'm using the right language, Rich. Is it a cis pronoun? I don't know.
Who knows? Do you know what? It's all new, isn't it?
It's all new. Learning. But I like learning and I don't mind learning. I think that's all we can ask of ourselves, is to be like both willing and, I would say, if you're a kind person, fucking enthusiastic, actually, about learning.
Absolutely.
How to be the kindest guy about all of this stuff and all this change.
Yes. How to be the best version of you.
We've gone all Oprah Winfrey.
It's funny, isn't it? It's right. But that's all I want. I don't want to be a cunt.
Yeah.
I just want to be as nice to people as I can. But I know sometimes, because of other pressures, really, you can be a bit moody, or you can say the wrong thing, and you're just not thinking straight. And we need to be a bit more empathetic towards each other, don't we?
For sure.
That's it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? How old's your son now?
He's 4. He goes to school in September. Open. Yeah.
Oh shit! Yeah. Oh no! I do you know what? Keep up with him. Unicorn shirt.
Yeah. I will. Luckily, he's pretty. He's got quite. I think it would have happened at this age anyway, but suddenly very particular about what he wears. And it's very colourful, his choice of outfit. But the one very worrying thing, Rich, is he's frequently opting for a sandal and sock.
What?
Yeah.
Nah, come on. Nah.
There are boundaries, aren't there?
I'm sorry. Come on, mate. Yeah, exactly. Sometimes people need a bit of guidance.
I like the idea that not like I care about fashion, but everybody has boundaries. I like the idea that I'm that parent who's like, right, son, I want you to know you never have sex with anybody who isn't 100% all over you, on top of you, consenting. You can be non-binary. I don't care who you fancy. Honestly, you can have any sexuality, persuasion, gender, anything, but you do not wear socks and sandals when you're out with mummy.
Jade and I had a massive argument because we were having couples counselling.
Right, yeah.
And so and it's only up the road. So we were driving up there and she had her socks on and she put my sliders on. And I stood there and I went, I couldn't bring myself. Good. Yeah. I was so angry about it. I went, why don't you put these on instead? And she went mental. Yeah. She went mad, absolutely mad. And rightly so, but at the same time, because it's in me, I can't stand it. So we get to couples counselling and we have to sit opposite each other. And of course, that's the first thing that comes up. And I'm sitting there because I have to look at this and I'm fucking livid. And not only that, I'm like, they're my socks. You're taking a piss, woman. I learned a lot about myself that day.
What a brilliant use of a therapist's time.
And she even the therapist was like, well, you know, surely Jade should be allowed to wear what she likes. But she looks a fucking mess. And it was just terrible.
You didn't come out of that session well, Rich.
Nah, not really. I have had a long word with myself. But I can't, I don't know. Just, you know, I'm walking in my head, I'm like, have some fucking self-respect. Just, realising all the way that it's my fault, I'm the problem.
It's really funny. It's really funny.
But I've learned. And then that's the thing, because, you know, Jade, if the more you say to Jade, don't do that.
Don't press the red button.
Exactly. Not only am I going to do this, Rich, but I'm going to do this every fucking day until you pull your head. I've learned. I keep my mouth shut now. But no sandals and socks. You tell your lad.
That's my one boundary.
Yeah, but he sounds like he's going to do it anyway.
Yes, he's very willful.
Mate, this has been lovely, Jess.
Oh, it's
Thank
been
you.
Joyful.
I've really enjoyed
lovely
this, mate.
Lovely conversation. Thanks for having me.
No, thank you. I was looking forward to this one. It's been they're all great. I'm really
it's
enjoying it.
It's a brilliant
it.
Podcast.
Thank you. I learned something from everybody that's been on. And that's, you know, it's been great. I've really enjoyed it. Where can we find you on the socials, Jess?
I'm at Jessica Foster Q on Twitter and Instagram. And I've got a podcast called Hoovering that's all about eating.
That's it.
Jade's on it.
Yeah, mate.
There's an episode of Jade on it. And there will be in the future. Eventually, one day, we'll get to it, an episode of Rich.
Bloody right, yes, mate. Please. I look forward to it.
I just want to do one after lockdown so that I can, because you're a good cook. So I'm sort of, I don't want to do a remote one when it's a podcast about eating until I'd rather wait until I can eat your cooking.
Oh, of course. I'll tell you what, I'm going to blow your mind.
Yes, please.
And we'll both wear sandals and socks.
Yes, please. Yes, please.
Jess, thank you. This has been great.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Made by darkhorsedigital.co.uk. Shooting, live streaming, and podcast production.